To hear, amen.
I'm bound for the promised land. I hope you are, amen. Only those that have been saved through the blood, by the blood, are going to get to go to the glories of God. What a great day that's going to be. So glad to see you all here today. Good to things thought out a little bit. Hard to believe it's supposed to get up past 50 by the weekend, amen, sometime like that. But amen, we'll take it any way we can get it, amen. God will help us to get it all, to get through it all. And I've enjoyed myself, had a really enjoyed the time to get to know Brother Vaughn and his family a little bit more, and had some good time of fellowship, and I've enjoyed myself preaching to you, amen. Let me open up my Bible and just preach. I appreciate that. And thank you for the offering the last two nights the church has collected up for us. Every year we take a short-term mission trip, and this year I'm going to the Philippine Islands. And we're going to be doing a pastor's conference along with a school evangelism. And so we don't ever charge the missionaries. We raise the money for all of that. So the offerings that came in the last two nights went to help me with my trip. And the airfares, the airfares and the hotels, all of that stuff, we pay for it all. And thank you very, very much. Had something very interesting take place last year. There was a couple, they were born and raised in Cameroon, wonderful couple, and both of them are tremendously intelligent. They did their university training in Germany, and both of them, he and his wife, Brother Najabwe, speak about three different languages, and just got a message that they're going into the ministry, they're going full-time missionaries back to Germany. And but anyway, they went with us last year, and the team leader that was heading up the school evangelism got sick one day. So it fell on the shoulders of Brother Najabwe and his precious wife. So they got their Filipino driver and took them to this particular school where they had prearranged to be able to talk to the students and present the gospel. Well, lo and behold, somehow the wires got crossed, and they showed up at a Roman Catholic school. And they step in there, and they say, yes, we have an appointment here. And they're like, well, who are you? Where are you from? And they're from the Open Door Baptist Church in Bulilwag. That's the church we're working out of, Bulacan. And they said, well, we'll have to talk to our superintendent. And she says, we never talk to anybody about this. This is a Roman Catholic school. And she said, we just don't let people come in here and just do things like this. And probably if it would have been the director that was going to be doing that, she would have probably said no. But because it was Brother Najabwe, and they were from Cameroon, living in America, and spoke these different languages, I just feel like the Lord just knew what was going on. And this superintendent said to this precious couple, well, we've never done this before, but since you've come all the way from America, we'll let you talk to our sixth grade class. And I think they spoke to about six sixth grade classes, pretty good sized school. And they had the privilege to present the gospel in that Roman Catholic school. And I don't remember how many professions of faith, but most of the children heard the gospel, responded. Most of the time people will. And then many of the leaders, the teachers that were that were leading these classes signified with an uplifted hand that they had received Christ as their Savior. Isn't that amazing? You thought that stuff just took place with George Mueller, amen, but God's still doing stuff like that, amen. So thank you so much for helping with my trip. And really, it's a very, very kind thing. Thank you, preacher, for letting me do that. Well, if you have your Bibles, look with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at the 20th chapter, Acts chapter number 20. And we're going to pick the reading up with verse number 28, Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. And while you're finding your place in the Bible there, remember we have a table set up. And we've got some invitation to listen cards. If you haven't been able to find us on the radio dial, if you live, the big station is the 89.7 station. That is a 2400 watt radio station. we just kind of have a, it's a challenge to get over this 79. It's kind of like a high ridge there. And but some places we've had calls as far as Huttonsville. We have calls up in, we've had calls up in Ohio. As a matter of fact, we had a call last year from Kenya, Africa. But he wasn't listening on the radio, amen. He was listening on the internet. But anyway, and then our, of course, our Clarksburg and Bridgeport station is a 96.7. There's cards back there that give you all that information. And I love the radio. The radio is the missionary that never sleeps, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The radio is getting the gospel out with good, sound King James Bible preaching, amen. And, boy, that's what we believe in the old-time way, good, Christ-centered music, amen. And I promise you that ain't the kind of music you're going to hear in the modern church. This is the Christ-centered music that has been received by Christians for throughout the years. And that's just the kind of music that we play, good sound preaching and good family programming. And have a segment on Saturday morning for the children, the Brinkman Adventures and Patch the Pirate and the Coral Island Adventures. And then we also do Lamplighter Theater throughout the week. Just these real nice dramas. Probably one of the favorite programs is The Unshackled. And it's stories of people that got born again. Comes from the Pacific Garden Mission out of Chicago, Illinois. And I've heard stories on Unshackled when it starts introducing these people. They are so wretched. They are such horrible people. They do such terrible things to children. You just want to hate them. And then all of a sudden, the gospel is presented to them. And God begins to soften their hearts. And these hardened criminals get saved. It's just an amazing, amazing radio program at 9 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Then we change the times up for the weekend. But anyway, I love radio. It's the missionary that never sleeps, 24 hours a day. Really, I don't know if there's another tool that God has given us that we can reach and use for the sake of the gospel and for discipleship that is really that helps us reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and then via the internet, the uttermost parts of the world all at the same time. But radio gives us that opportunity to do that. And I love everything about it. Amen? So find us on the dial. Well, if you found Acts chapter 20, would you stand with me in respect to God's word as we look at this particular passage here tonight, Acts chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up with verse number 28. The Bible says here, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Verse number 36 down to verse number 38 are precious verses. I'm going to end with those three verses. "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship." But tonight I want to particularly draw your attention to verse number Oh, let's see, verse number 30, where it says to draw away disciples after them. I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled Pointing or Drawing. And I believe that you'll understand my title once I get into the message tonight, Pointing or Drawing. You know, we're living in a time right now where, and I feel that there is a unity in this church, and I'm not just saying that. I do feel that there is a unity here. But as an evangelist, and preaching in many, many different churches all across this nation and other churches across the world, I have the opportunity to detect certain trends that I feel are so unhealthy for our churches. And one of the trends that I have noticed recently is church members, just like you, good church members, that began to allow men from other stripes, other belief systems, and they began to create schisms within the church. And they do it for one reason, to draw away disciples unto themselves. You see, your pastor is either going to point you to Jesus, or they're going to be those that are going to draw you away after themselves. So after tonight's message is done with, I want you to be able to detect a wolf. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, shall we? Father, we come tonight so thankful and grateful for bringing us all together tonight. We pray your blessings upon the reading and the preaching of your word. Our hearts have already been refreshed with the music and our part of the singing and the fellowship. And the special number, the just wonderful promise that we were reminded of. But now as we open up your book, we pray, dear God, that you'd settle in this place. And we ask that the Holy Ghost of God would have the freedom, dear God, to work in our hearts and in our minds and challenge our thinking. And dear God, may we offer to you humility and repentance. We pray, dear God, that you'll strengthen this local church. We pray now, Lord, that you'd save the lost, if that is the case tonight. Reclaim the backslider and revive the Christian. And dear God, help us all to understand the words of Scripture. Lord, when we're warned about wolves entering in, not sparing the flock. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me for tonight. Really, you begin to pick up the entire story with verse number 13. And what we learn, beginning with that verse there, that the apostles' traveling company had boarded a ship and they had sailed to Assos. But Paul made the journey to Miletus on foot. Look at it, verse number 13, Acts chapter number 20. And he went before to ship, and he sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. So we know that they were planning on Paul riding the ship with them, but evidently Paul said, I want to make this journey on foot. And probably he wanted to maybe get alone and get his thoughts together. There's no telling what was going on in the mind of this precious servant of God as he made the 20-mile trip down to Miletus, the things that he was going on, the care of the churches, understanding and letting God work in his heart and in his mind and giving him direction. And then from Miletus, Paul sent word to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. Remember, and by the way, the remainder of this chapter contains Paul's amazing farewell address to these Ephesian pastors. And this is the third address that's recorded in the book of Acts. The other two times, Paul specifically gives his testimony. Here, in this chapter here of the book of Acts, he is giving some clear directions to leaders of ministry, leaders of people, and also church members. This is the third address recorded. And he talks about, he passionately declares,
his own hardships and the sufferings that he had to go through, and his get-it-done determination. The Bible, I believe that, not to count his life on earth dear, but he wants to finish his course with joy. And if we were to take the time to read those verses, you would see that in there. And he warns the church and their leaders concerning fake preachers. He is warning the church and these leaders about fake preachers preaching fake truth. And it's going to bring in a real apostasy. So he gathers up the elders and he warns them, I'm telling you, there are false preachers are going to come in. And he says, and they are going to be preaching false things, and they're going to be bringing in a real apostasy. In verse number 28, he says this to the preachers, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. So we know that the Apostle Paul is talking to these Ephesian believers, and he's saying, listen, you have been given very clear instruction as a leader, as a pastor, as an elder. He says you're supposed to feed the church of God. And I don't believe that God was intending them to feed the church junk food. But a lot of what's going on in the modern churches today is nothing more than junk food. They try to wrap it up with a bunch of rock music, wrap it up with leg shows and light shows and all kinds of nonsense. And the Apostle Paul said, elders, you better make sure you're going to feed the church of God food and not junk food. You find me anywhere in the Word of God where the Bible says, well, that entertainment is supposed to supersede instruction from the Word of God. He said, feed the church of God. And not junk food, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. So the church is not mine. It doesn't even belong to Brother Vaughn. It belongs to God. It's his church, purchased by his own blood. So we just don't take some whimsical idea, some new marketing technique, and try to apply it to the work of God. God's work is done through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. You pray it through. And you do it God's way. In verse number 29, he's prophesying. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in. Isn't that amazing? Entering in. Not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves. That word grievous means dangerous. Bloodthirsty wolves. The Bible says, for I know this, that after my departing, Paul's saying, when I leave, I'm telling you what's going to happen. When I leave, there's going to come grievous wolves entering in among you, not sparing the flock. And you know, wolves run in packs. And according to some research, there's always an alpha wolf. You know, there's always something in the background that's, you know, really kind of organizing in whatever canine way in their instincts they do that. But one in the background, he says, wolves, grievous wolves entering, not sparing the flock. Look at verse number 30. Now he's warning the elders and the church about these wolves. He says, and by the way, he says they're not going to point you to Christ, but instead they're going to draw you to themselves. They're going to draw you away from the very ones that have proven their love. They're going to draw away disciples unto themselves. Look at it, verse number 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse. That means distorted from the right, disposed to be contrary. And also of their own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Perverse things. Literally it means distorted from the right, turned aside, obstinate in the wrong, disposed to be contrary, petulant, peevish, disposed to cross and vex. Isn't it amazing that there's only one other time in the entire Bible when the word perverse things is mentioned, and it's in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs when it talks about a man that has been affected by intoxicating beverage, and he's speaking perverse things, and he's led away by a strange woman. Well, the same way that it describes what a drunk does, he says these wolves are going to come in and they are going to speak perverse things. They're going to come in and they're going to present controversy. They're going to come in and they're going to lead you astray. Obstinate. Today, many of the wolves are online personalities, and they're posing as last day apostles with a corner on the truth, and they seek to draw away church members just like you unto themselves. And a lot of the issues that they push on the internet, and these kind of personalities, they oppose any kind of organized religion. A lot of them speak negative about tithing. Many of them do teach other strange things like Christ suffering in hell as an atonement for our sin. Brother, Jesus didn't suffer in hell. Jesus preached in hell. Amen. And then they really began to make things controversial with their prophetical issues. They deny the imminency of the rapture, even teach that there is no rapture. But yet there are so many references in the Bible, and I can't even get into that. I'm saying more than I want to tonight right here because I've got other things to say, and that's not the purpose of this meeting there. But they bring in controversy, and a good, sound, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church denying these kind of issues. Replacement theology. Teaching that God is finished with the nation of Israel and the church has taken its place. Can you imagine that? Drawing disciples unto themselves. They go into this allegorical interpretation of Scripture, which is very dangerous. And then you have those that even deny the Holocaust, calling themselves Baptists, teaching that salvation doesn't even have evidence. And they reject the biblical repentance. They give strange anti-biblical practices for New Testament believers, advocating many times the consumption of alcoholic intoxicating beverages. And many times people in our good churches follow that nonsense. And they create a controversy. They create a schism within the body. And then they began to promote practices like observing Jewish observances and not paying taxes and any number of issues. And any one of these issues that I have briefly discussed here just for a moment can create an undercurrent of disunity within a local church and cause a schism. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And praise God, one of these days all those isms are going to be wasms. Hallelujah for that. Just stop and think about how diabolical it is for an outside personality that has deceitfully offered his influence into a local, autonomous, indigenous, independent church for one reason: to draw away disciples unto themselves. You see, real shepherds warn, watch, and weep. They do not scare, scatter, and sap. They warn, they watch, and they weep. The Bible says, watch therefore. Watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So the Apostle Paul describes these apostates as wolves. And what they do, they spare not the flock. In other words, they want to scatter. They want to scatter the flock. They scatter the flock by speaking perverse things. And then their intent is revealed to draw away disciples after them. So how do you tell the difference from a shepherd and a wolf? How can you tell the difference? How can you tell the difference from the one that points you to God and His Word, from the one that draws you to Himself and His perverse sayings? Well, let's look at verse number 31. It gives us the first thing we can tell the difference between a wolf and a shepherd. Number 31, I already mentioned it to you, but it says, "Watch, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You see, the one, the shepherd, he's the one that prays for you. Preacher and I went up today and visited Mrs. Lectric. Mrs. Lectric. What a precious visit that was today. My heart was stirred about it. And as the preacher was talking to her, encouraging her in the Lord, I looked over at him. I said, "Man, this is a shepherd. What I'm seeing right here, this is precious. This is a shepherd." You know how to tell the difference between a shepherd and a wolf? The shepherd prays. The shepherd weeps. Listen, I just recently preached at a church where 25 families walked out of a good, sound, fundamental Bible-believing church because of the outside influence of an online personality that never one time made a hospital call to visit. So how do you tell the shepherd between a wolf? You remember, he's the one that prays for you. Not only that, look at verse number 32. You see, he's the one that points you to God and to His book. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Oh, listen, the shepherd, he's the one that points you to God, and he's the one that points you to His book. Boy, I'm just so thankful for the influence. I know I've just kind of probably sound like a broken record since Sunday, but I'm just so thankful. It's just one of the things that I just have been meditating on. I'm just so thankful for the influence of a good church into my life. As a young boy, I started riding a Sunday school bus to church. Now, I did not come from a home that lacked love. My mom and dad loved us and provided for us. But there was just something about a bus captain's love that just reached out and made such a huge impact upon my life. Amen. And I remember those days, my pastor, Brother Matthews, and that was his name, and no, he's not a well-known personality, but I remember he just was so methodical in his teaching. We did book studies, probably verse by verse, on Sunday night and Wednesday night, the whole time going through church. And as preacher boys, he said, "Son," he said to us as preacher boys in our preacher boy class, he said, "Boys, if you learn to just preach through the Bible, every single thing that needs to get hit will get hit. It keeps you from riding hobby horses. It'll take care of morality issues. It'll take care of family issues. It'll take care of worldly issues. It'll take care of everything. Preach through the Word of God." You know what he was doing? He was pointing me to me. He was pointing me to God and to His Word. The way you tell the difference between a shepherd and a wolf is the shepherd, he points you to God and to the book. Amen. Look at verse number 33. How do you tell the difference between a shepherd and a wolf? Well, you have to consider the one that's paid his dues. Look at verse number 33 and verse number 34. Paul says to these Ephesian believers and these elders, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." So in other words, these people knew that, listen, Paul was going to do the work of God whether he got anything for it or not. If it depended on his own skills, for him to be able to provide for his necessities? He said, that's what I'm going to do. So in all reality, you have to consider, who is the one that has paid his dues? Who do I see? The one that has been faithful, the one that has been there in the midst, thick and thin, praying, weeping, crying, preaching, teaching, being with us when our young are born, being with us when we bury our old, the one that's there. Hey, that's how you tell the difference between a shepherd and a sheep. You look at the one that's paid his dues. Then look at verse number 35. He says in verse number 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring he ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How do you know the difference between a wolf and a sheep? You trust God's appointed shepherd that has a public testimony of propping up the weak. He said he's more blessed. He is, remember the words, he's more blessed to give than receive. You ought to support the weak. I just did a meeting, it's been a while ago now. There was a little bit of a schism in the church. A family came and talked to me about it. I mentioned it to the pastor so I could give them some counsel, knowing what he would do. And there was just a little bit of an uproar that happened with some bus children. They were picking up some bus children and they were making some problems within the church, just making things a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit unruly. And the preacher made a statement, we're going to reach the kids. And there were some people that were offended by that because they felt, listen, we come to church, we want to hear, we want to do this. These kids making this noise, it just kind of, it's not pleasant. And I, with the pastor's understanding and his direction, knew that was able to give them some, and I just said to the folks, look, he's looking at the eternal destiny of these children. And the truth is, if nobody reaches out to these kids, they may never have a chance to hear the gospel. So it might disturb your Sunday morning, your Christianity for Sunday morning, but it's not the end of the world. You see, the shepherd is going to support the weak. Amen. He is going to reach out. He said, listen, we have got to have a ministry. We got to reach out. And folks, we do. Sound like it's an exciting, you got some things going on in the nursery tonight, amen? They're trying to out-preach me in there, amen? Might be doing a good job too, amen? Trust the God-appointed shepherd that has a public testimony of supporting the weak. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord, how we said it's more blessed to give than receive. And it is more blessed to give than receive. Amen, it is. It is. I remember when the Lord taught me the lesson on it's more blessed to give than receive. I think I had mentioned to you Sunday we moved out to the country and we was doing some work around the house, and at the end of the day my father gave me $5. Now that's unusual because we just worked around the house because we live, but this day he just handed me a $5 bill. And I don't know why, but the first thought that came to my mind when my dad gave me that $5 bill, the thought that came to my mind was, I want to put this $5 bill in the offering plate. I don't want to get change. I want to know what it feels like to put $5 in the offering plate. And that was the thought that came to my mind. I got up the next morning, Sunday morning, and I must have checked 100 times to make sure that $5 bill was still in my pocket. And then I went to Sunday school, and I didn't want to put it in the Sunday school offering. I wanted to put it in the church offering. Amen. And I remember thinking about it, and I remember me and my friend, his name was Ricky Phillips, we sat toward the back on this side of the auditorium very much, just like this one right here. And the ushers came forward, take the offering, amen, and then they started passing the plates. And they kept coming our way, and man, I'm thinking about this, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive, and I want to give this. And boy, they come into our row, and I remember who the usher is. I could tell you his name right now. I'm not going to, amen, because you might call him up and tell him. But anyway, man, he's going by, and he saw me and my friend Ricky Phillips,
And he had that plate in his hand. And he must have thought to themselves, all those boys, they don't have anything to give. And he skipped our row. Now listen, I've been thinking about it. And I wasn't about to let this opportunity go by. So I kind of made a little bit of a scene when I climbed up on the pew there and reached in the pew behind me. And I put that whole $5 bill in the plate. And then I sat down. And I can't explain it. But I mean, I just started weeping. I just started weeping. And the Lord taught me it's more blessed to give than receive. And you see, the way you tell the difference between the shepherd and the sheep, because he's the one that's going to always support the weak. He's going to prop and he's going to teach. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And then we come to the end of this story, and it's precious to me. Because this must have been a powerful, powerful meeting that the apostle had with these people. Remember, he took that 20-mile walk. He was going to ride the boat with his friends, but he said, no, I want to walk it. And no doubt he was rehearsing all these things in his mind. And then he gave him these wonderful words warning them about the wolves that are going to come in, not sparing the flock. And then he warned them about, no doubt, some Jewish people that were caught up in religion and rejected Jesus Christ. And he gives them all this wonderful information. And then verse number 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. We're living in a day right now, friends, where it is so easy for these outside personalities to come into our churches with an incredible influence, and they have no skin in the game whatsoever. They have absolutely nothing to lose. And they create undercurrents. And they're wolves. And they speak perverse things. And they draw away disciples after themselves. So you got to beware of the wolves. So you got to be very careful about who you read and what you read. You got to be very careful about the claims that people make. Amen. If you have any doubt whatsoever, seek some counsel. Amen. Just make sure you say, because boy, we have seen some people get mixed up. And it ends up literally shattering families and churches. You better know the difference between a wolf and a sheep. I want us to bow our heads for prayer.